Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Pei Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur on Daf Pei Hey begins at the Mishnah that you will find on the upper part of the page in the narrow lines of the Gemara. Hashochet v'nimseis trefa, one who slaughters an animal, and it turns out that the animal is a trefa, and hence you can't eat it. Vashochet lavodis kechavim, one who slaughters for an idol. Vashochet chulin bifnim, v'kotshem b'chutz, or one who shechts the common meat, chulin meaning non-sanctified meat, in the Azora, in the Beis Hamikdash, or he shechts kotshem b'chutz, sacrificial meat he shechts outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Chayo v'oif haniskolin, or one slaughters a chaya, an undomesticated animal, or a bird, that are sentenced to the death penalty. This would be the case if, let us say, they were used in bestiality, and the court had ruled they are to be stoned, and prior to the stoning, he then shechts, he slaughters those creatures. Rabbi Meir Mechayev, Rabbi Meir says that you are Chayev in Kisui Hadam. In other words, even though these are examples of Shechita that are what we call Shechita Sheinu Ruya, it's Shechita that does not lead to eating, nevertheless, there is an obligation to do Kisui Hadam. V'chachomim potrim. The Chachomim say, no, there is no obligation to do Kisui Hadam. The Chachomim Shechita represents the idea that Shechita Sheinu Ruya is not considered Shechita. Rashi points out that even though the pasuk in the context of Kisui Hadam uses the word shficha, the spilling of blood, which would say any form of killing should be chayev in Kisui, nevertheless, it also says in the pasuk asher ye'ocheil that you will come to eat. And as a result of that, the Chachamim say, since this is meat that you won't come to eat, therefore there is no Kisui Hadam obligation. Hashochet v'nisnavlo biyodoi, a person who, while shechting, something went wrong with the shechita, and it wasn't even a good shechita action, as opposed to the cases in the Reisha, which were good actions of shechita, but for an outside reason they could not be eaten. In this case, the action of shechita itself was lacking. Hanocher, that's a case where one kills the animal. Vehamaakir, one who rips out the neck organs. Nocher is something associated with piercing the animal. Here, this is ma'akir, ripping out the neck organs. Potter milachasos. This is exempt from kisui according to all opinions. These are cases of a non-shechita action whatsoever. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. You notice there is written nosei and a slash, and then mivneh. This represents a topic heading, and mivneh is a structural note. In this case, as you look on in the Gemara, you will notice in the Gemara text we have a couple of diamonds. So the note says, where you see the diamond featured, b'halochos shonos hatluyos b'shchita. With regard to different halochos that are dependent on shchita, kemo oisoi v'esbeno v'kisui hadam, like the example which was the topic of the previous perek, the prohibition of slaughtering a mother and offspring on the same day, or like our perek deals with kisui hadam. These are two halachas that are a function of shechita. Rebbe posek lifamim de shechita eishena ruya. Sometimes Rebbe rules concerning shechitas that are called eina ruya, meaning they don't lead to eating. Sometimes he paskins ke Rebbe Meir d'shma shechita. He paskins like Rebbe Meir that it is considered a shechita, even though you can't come to eat from it. And sometimes ke Rebbe Shimon d'lav shma shechita. Now, what do we mean when we say that Rebbe Paskins like Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Shimon? When Rebbe, who was the editor of the Mishnayos, when he wants to express his consent or acceptance of a particular opinion as being authoritative, he'll teach it in as if it were in the name of the Chachomim. It will appear in the Mishnah as the opinion of the Chachomim. So that if, for example, we want to say Shchita She'ena Ruya Lo Shmo Shchita, which is Shitas Rabbi Shimon, that Shita will appear under the name Chachomim. In fact, when we look at our Mishnah, we see cases of Shchita She'ena Ruya, and in our Mishnah it said Rabbi Meir is Mechayev. That's Rabbi Meir's actual Shita, because he holds Shchita She'ena Ruya Shmo Shchita, and therefore, even though it doesn't lead to eating, you still will have to do Kisa Adam. And then there's another Shita of that of the Chachomim, which exempt. Now, why would they exempt? They hold that Shchita She'ena Ruya Lo Shmo Shchita. That just so happens to be the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi, when studying or when presenting the Mishnah concerning Kisui Adam, he prefers that Shita, the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and hence represents it in the name or under the name of Chachomim. Chachomim being a word indicating the collective of sages, the all of the sages representing a popular or majority opinion, when in fact it really is a singular opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi wants to convey that that is the way to rule, to legally rule. Therefore he presents the Shita of Rabbi Shimon as if it's the opinion of the sages, and hence he calls it the Chachomim's Shita. Now our Gemara features this point that we introduced in our introduction. The diamonds, as you can see, surround the expressions Ba'osov es Beno. That was the topic of the previous perek, and you see later on the page a diamond around Kisui Adam. That's the topic of our Mishnah, our perek right now. The Gemara. Omar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Ro Rabbi Devorov Shel Rabbi Meir, Ba'osov es Beno. Rabbi saw the words of Rabbi Meir. That's a literal translation, but it means that Rabbi preferred to rule according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir in the context of Oisav Espino, namely, to rule like Rabbi Meir means that a shchita she'ena ruya shmo shchita, a shchita that does not lead to eating, is nevertheless deemed a shchita with regard to the prohibition of slaughtering mother and offspring on the same day. And since he prefers Rabbi Meir in the context of Osav Espino, Vishonoi Voloshan Chachomim. And in the Mishnah dealing with Shchita She'ena Ruya, he teaches that there will be a prohibition, even though it's a Shchita She'ena Ruya, there will be a prohibition of shechting mother and offspring on the same day. And that Shchita is presented under the name Chachomim. Likewise, Uda Rabbi Shimon, Bekisui Hadam, Vishonoi Boloshon Chachomim. And by the same token, Rebbe likes Shitas Rebbe Shimon with regard to the halacha of Kisui Hadam, and that means that Shchita She'ena Ru'uya is Lo Shama Shchita, and therefore there will be an exemption when you shecht and it turns out to be a Shchita that's not effective, it doesn't lead to eating. And he teaches that under the name Chachomim, even though that's Shitas Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara analyzes the reasoning of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon in each category. My time of Rabbi Meir, Ba'osav es Benoi, what is the reason that Rabbi Meir rules the way he does in the case of Osav es Beno, meaning that Shchita She'ena Ruya is considered shchita, and hence, even if, let us say, you shechted and it turned out to be a trefa, he would prohibit the shechting of mother and offspring on the same day. Omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Gomar shchita shchita mishchute chutz. He learns a word comparison from the topic of shchute chutz. Shchute chutz is the slaughtering of sacrifices outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which happens to be a very serious offense, and Rabbi Meir will learn a gzeira shava from that topic to the topic of Oisov es Benoi. where in both topics the word shchita appears. Ma hosam, just like there by shchutei chutz, shchita sheina ruya shma shchita. It's a shchita, it's the slaughtering that doesn't lead to the eating. It's a ruined sacrifice. Af hochonami, so too over here in the case of Osav Espino, nami shchita sheina ruya shma shchita. It will be deemed a shchita. And as a result of that, if you, let us say, shechted the mother and it turned out to be a trefa, that nevertheless is no reason to allow the shechita of the offspring, because Rabbi Meir holds shechita sheina ruya shma shechita. Rabbi Shimon, my taima. Why does Rabbi Shimon say what he holds, namely that shechita sheina ruya is lo shma shechita? Omar Rav Moni Bar Patish. Gomar mitvoach tovach vehochein. He learns from this pasuk, ma lahalon shchita ruya. The pasuk that was just cited is in the context of Yosef preparing meat for his brothers to eat when they came to Mitzrayim. So it says tvoach tovach vehochein, and just like there, that was a shchita that led to eating. Af kan, so too when it comes to Osav Espino, shchita ruya. It has to be a shchita that will lead to eating, and only then will there be a restriction of shechting the mother and offspring on the same day. Rabbi Meir, nami ligmar mitavoach. Well, we turn to Rabbi Meir and say, well, why doesn't he learn from that pasuk? And then only if it's a shchita ruya would it be considered a shchita. Donin shchita mishchita. He prefers comparing exact words one to the other. V'ein donin shchita mitvicha. And we've included the psukim on the side of the Gemara. You'll see there the pasuk. There's an expression in parentheses. Oso v'espino, an abbreviated expression. In Vayikra it says v'shor ose oiso v'espino lo sishchatu biomechad. And regarding shchutei chutz, which was the source of word comparison, it says ish mi beis Yisrael asher yishchat shor o kesev o eiz b'machne o asher yishchat mi chutz l'machne. So in both of those psukim, you see a word whose root is shochat. So where you have the similar expressions, there I make the word comparison. The Gemara goes on, v'ein donin shchita mitvicha, but Rabbi Meir says I won't compare shchita, which is the topic of the word you find by Osav Espino, to the pasuk in Bereishis where the word tevicha appears. The Gemara asks, so what? They're different words. They are similar ideas. My nafka mina, what difference does it make if they're different words? Hotana debei Rabbi Shmuel, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel teaches the following rule, based on psukim dealing with mitzora. It says v'shava kohen uboa kohen zuhi shiva zuhi bia. There are two different time periods during the mitzora tahara process, or the mitzora experience. And even though in one pasuk it says v'shava kohen and the other pasuk it says uboa kohen, which referred to the coming of the Kohen, they are different words. Nevertheless, we compare what happens during one week to what happens during the other week in the context of Mitzora. The point being, without getting into details of Tzoras, we see that though they are different words, we are entitled to run a word comparison. The Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when is it that we will be willing to use different, even though they're different words, to nevertheless compare topics? Hecho de leko de domi le, that's where you have no option, no alternative, where there is nothing similar. Aval iko de domi le, if you have similar words to compare, a choice between comparing similar to as opposed to comparing simple topics, and even when the words are not similar, midedomi le'yafinon, we will opt to use as a word comparison the two topics that have the same word in each topic. And hence, Rabbi Meir says that, Rabbi Meir prefers the limud of shchita shchita, where we compare shchutei chutz to the topic of Oiso Vesbino, because in both of those topics you have a same word situation. And as a result of that, he concludes that a Shechita Sheina Ruya, like you find by Shrut Echutz, is nevertheless deemed a Shechita. So too, the Shechita Sheina Ruya, in the case of Oiso Vesbino, will be deemed a Shechita. The Gemara asks back and forth here with the two shitas, Rabbi Shimon Nami Ligmar Mishchut Echutz. Well, why doesn't Rabbi Shimon learn from Shchut Echutz? There you have the same words, and then come to the conclusion that Shchut Shchita Sheinu Ruya is Shma Shchita. Answer, Donin Chulin Mechulin Ve'ein Donin Chulin Mekotshim. I prefer, says Rabbi Shimon, to learn topics of the mundane one from the other, rather than using Shchut Echutz, which is a kochim topic, a sacrificial topic, and using that as a basis to determine something that's of a non-kochim nature, named the general topic of Oisuv Esbeno. The Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir's response to that is, Otu Oisuv Esbeno b'kochim milo nohig. Are you suggesting that that I, who do use kochim as a precedent, that the topic of Oisuv Esbeno doesn't apply? It does apply to kochim just as well. So it's not as if we're comparing different topics. I'm using Shchut Echutz, which is a kochim topic, to learn concerning halachas of Oiso Vesbino, when I know fully well that Oiso Vesbino is relevant to kochim as well. Hainu, the Kama Rebbe Chia, based on this, we see, we understand what Rebbe Chia said above at the beginning of the Gemara, Raw Rebbe Dvorav Shel Rebbe Meir, the Oisov Espino. Rebbe prefers the way of Rebbe Meir in the context of Oisov Espino, namely, that Shchita Sheinu Ruya Shma Shchita, Vishonoi Veloshen Chachomim. And he taught that opinion, the opinion of Rebbe Meir, under the name Rebbe, under the name Chachomim. My taimo de Rebbe Meir b'kisui hadam. We have seen in our Mishnah Shitas Rebbe Meir that said that there is an obligation to do kisui hadam, the covering of the blood, even though the shechita is a shechita sheina ruya. So the Gemara is asking, what is the basis of Rebbe Meir's conclusion that shechita sheina ruya is considered shechita to obligate one to do kisui hadam in the case of kisui hadam? Omar Rebbe Shimon ben Lokish, Gomar Shvicha Shvicha Mishchut Echutz. Rebbe Meir has a word comparison involving the word Shvicha from the topic of Shchut Echutz. Ma lahalon Shchita Sheina Ruya Shma Shchita, just like in the case of Shchut Echutz, which we discussed before, is the issue of slaughtering sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash, which is something that is, of course, unfit to eat. Nevertheless, it's considered Shchita, and he is thereby in violation of Shchitas Chutz. Af kan Shchita Sheina Ruya Shma Shchita. So too, with regard to Kisui Hadam, where the word Shvicha appears, we also conclude that even though it's a shechita that's ein aruya, that doesn't lead to eating, nevertheless there is an obligation to cover the blood. Rabbi Shimon, Asher Yochal Ksiv. The pasuk says in the case of kisui hadam, meat that you will come to eat, and since it says Asher Yochal, that which you will come to eat, if therefore the shechita is ein aruya, doesn't lead to eating, there is no obligation of kisui hadam. For Rebbe Meir, well, what does Rebbe Meir do with that pasuk? Hahu limute oif tomei huda asa. That comes to exclude the need for covering the blood of an unkosher variety bird. Rebbe Shimon, oif tomei mai taima. Well, according to Rebbe Shimon, what is his source for the exclusion of an unkosher variety bird from the realm of kisui hadam? Answer, the lav bar achila. So Rabbi Shimon tells you that the reason that there's no kisui hadam for an unkosher variety bird is because it's something you don't come to eat. Well, by the same token, treifonami lav bar achilahu. So the need for kisui doesn't exist by a treifa either. In other words, where you shecht it and it turns out to be a treifa, just like you, Rebbe Meir, are in agreement that of tamei does not need shechita, by the same token, shechting it and finding it to be a treifa also is something you do not come to eat. And therefore, shchita sheina ruya lo shma shchita, and in the case of kisui adam, and therefore there is no obligation to cover the blood. V'hainu dam Rabbi Chiya, and based on this argument, Rabbi Chiya explained earlier, raw Rebbe Dvarav Shor Rabbi Shimon b'kisui adam v'shanoi b'loshon chachamim. Rebbe, in studying the topic of kisui adam, felt that Rabbi Shimon's approach is the stronger approach, and therefore to rule like it, and hence he taught this approach of shchita sheina ruya lo shma shchita in the context of kisui adam, as we saw in our Mishnah, under the name Chachomim. As we explained earlier, when you teach something under the name Chachomim, you are giving it greater legal significance insofar as referring to the shita by the term Chachomim, indicating the majority opinion. Omar Rebbe Abba, lo lakol Omar Rebbe Meir, shchita sheina ruya shma shchita. Not regarding everything does Rebbe Meir say that a shchita that is unfit, that doesn't lead to eating, is considered shchita. Molde Rebbe Meir she'ein matirasa b'achila. Rebbe Meir will concede that if you do a shchita and it turns out to be something like a trefa, that you cannot eat it. And hence, regarding the eating, it's not considered a shchita. The lola kol Omar Rebbe Shimon, shchita she'ena ruya, lo shma shchita, and not with regard to everything does Rebbe Shimon say that a shchita that's not roy is not considered a shchita. Moide Rebbe Shimon shemetarosa midena vela. Rebbe Shimon will concede that even though it's a shchita that doesn't is ineffective with regard to eating, it nevertheless prevents that animal from becoming a nevela. In other words, if you have an animal that you shechted and it turns out to be a trefa, that trefa, even though you can't eat it, nevertheless, it does not mitama tumas nevela, doesn't convey the ritual impurity associated with an animal that lacks shchita altogether. So we just saw two points made by Rebbe Abba, and we labeled them one and two. As we look on ahead in the Gemara will analyze both of these points. This is indicated by the diamonds that you see around the expression lo lakol, and a little one appears that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. And if you skim down the page, you'll notice a number two and a diamond in the Gemara itself, also around the expression v'lo lakol. Under our Nosei Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we feature a diamond, and we now read what the note says: Hagbolos ala klolim shel Rebbe Meir v'Rebbe Shimon b'inyan shchita sheina ruya. Restrictions on the rules that Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Shimon respectively stated in the context of shchita sheina ruya. So now, the Gemara goes over the two points that we just featured at the top. Omar Mor, a quote: Lo lakol Omar Rebbe Meir shchita sheina ruya shma shchita. Not with regard to everything does Rebbe Shimon say that an unfit shchita is considered a shchita. Namely, even though regarding what we saw, kisui hadam and osav espino, he will call a shchita sheina ruya shma shchita with all of the ramifications, not so with regard to all areas of halacha. Moide Rebbe Meir she'ein matirasa b'achila. Rebbe Meir concedes that it doesn't necessarily lead to one's ability to eat it. So the Gemara asks on the need for Rebbe Abba to tell us this information. Pshita, it would appear to be obvious. Trefa b'shchita mimishtarya. If you slaughter an animal and find it to be a trefa, an animal that has a serious organ deficiency, it's a trefa. It's obvious that the slaughtering of such a thing doesn't allow it. Mimishtari means, would it allow it to be? And of course not. So what is Rebbe Abba accomplishing when he tells us that even though Rebbe Meir holds shchita sheina ruya is considered shchita, it doesn't lead to the eating of it? So the Gemara answers, and it takes a few lines to develop this answer. We call this a long answer, and we have a long answer marking the tuff that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line indicating all of the lines opposite this form the answer. Loi tzricha, the ruling of Rabbi Abba, or the observation of Rabbi Abba, is needed. L'shochet es ha-trefa, u'motza ba ben teisha chai. You slaughtered a pregnant animal, and you found inside the trefa mother a nine-month-term fetus, and you find it alive. Sakadai techamina, hoyol diomer Rabbi Meir, shchita sheinu yishma shchita. I might have thought that since Rabbi Meir has the opinion that a shchita that doesn't lead to eating, nevertheless is called shchita, teheni le shchitas imo, the shchita that you did to the mother who turned out to be a trefa, teheni le means it should be effective. The shchita that you did to the mother should be effective with regard to the fetus, velo liboi shchita, and that fetus, as it develops and grows, when you eventually want to eat it, you will not have to do shchita to it. It would be considered as having benefited from the shchita done to its mother. Komash malon, that is what Rabbi Abba is telling us here, that in this case, the shchita will not be effective to exempt the ben teisha chai from it needing its own shchita. The Gemara asks, v'tizbara, the Omar Rabbi Meir ben Pkua told shchita, but what do I need Rabbi Abba for? Once again, there was no havamina to think otherwise. Rabbi Meir's shita, Rabbi Meir's opinion in general with regard to a ben Pkua, which is a term for a fetus found inside a pregnant animal that was shechted, that was slaughtered. He, Rabbi Meir, holds that ben Pkua needs shchita, meaning even if the mother was totally kosher, if you find inside a totally kosher mother animal, a ben teisha chai, an unborn 9-month pregnancy fetus, it needs its own shchita. So that whatever Rabbi Abba is saying here is not of any unique nature. This is simply characteristic of Rabbi Meir's opinion in general with regard to ben pakua. So once again, what do I need Rabbi Abba for? So the Gemara answers, lo tzricha, I need Rabbi Abba. Lo tzricha. We should point out that we're embarking on a long answer that's indicated by the long answer marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. The Rebbe, Sovar law k'Rabbi Meir, the Sovar law k'Rabbanan. Rebbe, who we already said teaches these Mishnayos, holds like Rabbi Meir and holds like the Rabbanan, and this will be explained. Sovar law k'Rabbi Meir, de'omar shchita sheinu ruya shmo shchita. Rebbe, in principle, holds like Rabbi Meir that shchita, even though it's unfit with regard to allowing it to be eaten, it's nevertheless deemed a shchita. The Savar lo k'Rabbanan, and he also holds like the Rabbanan, the Amri Shchitas Imoi Mitaroso, that the shchita of the mother exempts the offspring, the fetus, from needing its own shchita. Kevan di Omer Rabbonon Shchitas Imo Mitaroso, since the Rabbonon have ruled that the Shchita of the mother exempts the fetus from needing its own Shchita, Teheni Le Shchitas Imo Veloli Boy Shchita, let the Shchita of a mother that turns out to be a Trefa to be effective in allowing the Vlad to be eaten without its own Shchita. Komash Malon. Therefore, Rabbi Abba teaches us that if the mother turns out to be a trefa, the shchita will not matir the ben pakua. So, to go over this last point, why did Rabbi Abba teach what seemed to be obvious? Rabbi Abba had taught that not regarding everything is shchita, she'ena ruya, considered shchita, And we said that his comment was with reference to the shechting of a trefa. In the final analysis, we are explaining that I need Rabbi Abel's comment in light of the opinion of Rebbe. Of Rebbe, who happens to hold like Rebbe Meir, with regard to the topic of Oysoi ve'esbenoi, which we discussed on Omid Aleph, whereby Rebbe holds Shechita Sheina Ruya is considered Shechita, and if you shecht, let us say, a mother and it turns out to be a trefa, you cannot shecht the offspring. So Rebbe holds, like Rebbe Meir, that Shechita Sheina Ruya is considered Shechita. And with regard to the issue of Ben Pekua, Rebbe happens to hold, in general, that if you shecht a mother, the fetus itself, even though it remains alive, it does not need its own shechita. Nevertheless, in this case, and this is what Rabbi Abba is referring to, in this case, that the mother turns out to be a trefa, Rebbe will concede that the shechita of the mother does not cover the vla, doesn't exempt the fetus that's found inside the trefa mother, and regarding that, the comment of Rabbi Abba applies that not regarding everything would Rabbi Meir, who is represented here by Shitas Rebbe, would he hold that the shechita is effective. And the bottom point line is, the shechita is not effective with regard to the fetus found inside a trefa mother that was shechted. Now we go to the second point of Rabbi Abba. This is a quote from above, and we have this labeled with a diamond and a number 2. V'lo lakol amar Rabbi Shimon shechita sheina ruya lo shma shechita. Not with regard to everything does Rabbi Shimon say that a shechita that's not fit for eating is not considered shechita. Moider Rabbi Shimon shemetarosa midei nevela. Rabbi Shimon concedes that if you shecht an animal and it turns out to be a trefa, it repels the Tumas Nevela from setting in. So the Gemara asks, once again, what do I need Rabbi Abba for this? Pshita, I would know that anyway. The Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Yamri Lo B'mas Nisotona. Some teach it the following as a statement of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, and another version has it presented as a Tanaic source, and that's why we have a frame around the next couple lines. The Chiyomus Min Habehema, that is the Pasuk. Pasuk that describes or refers to Nevela. Mixas Behema Metama, some Behemas communicate Tumas Nevela. Mixas Behema Eino Metama, and some Behemas don't. The A Zo, and which one is not Metame, which kind of dead animal doesn't communicate Tumas Nevela? Zu Shrefa Sheshachta. So from this pasuk, which says min habehema, that some behemas communicate tuma, some do not, we derive from this that a trefa that was slaughtered, even though you can't eat it, it does not communicate tuma. So what do I need Rabbi Abba for? Lo yitzricha. And once again, we want to point out that we have a long answer coming up. The Gemara says, I need Rabbi Abba l'sheichedes a trefa v'ichulin ba'azorah. The case of the slaughtering of an animal that turns out to be a trefa, and it happened to be a common animal, namely non-sacrificial animal, that was slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azorah, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So in this context, I need Rabbi Abba's observation. Desanya, Hashochet is a trefa, V'chein Hashochet v'nimseis trefa, Ze v'ze chulin ba'azorah. Whether you shecht a trefa that's obvious to you as a trefa, let us say it's missing a hind leg, or you shecht an animal and you find inside of it, in one of its internal organs, are damaged, rendering it a trefa, and both of these cases you happen to have slaughtered the animal in the Azora, Rabbi Shimon matir bahano, the Chachomim oisrin. Rabbi Shimon will tell us that you can benefit from it, and the Chachomim say you cannot. Now we should just point out, by way of background, that a case of Shechitas Chulin Ba'azorah leads it to be prohibited in benefiting. It's also bahana. We see here that Rabbi Shimon tells us about a case of Hulin Bazora that one is allowed to benefit from. Now, the Gemara explains. Salka Daita Chamina. Hoyel V'yomer Rabbi Shimon Mutir Bahano. Since Rabbi Shimon said it is an animal that's shechted and found to be a treifa, and it was done in the Azora, is allowed to one is allowed to benefit from it. Almo lav shchita hi klal. By virtue of this ruling, it would then appear to us that it's not shchita at all. Now we should have pointed out that the rule of chulin bazora becoming usur bahana, becoming forbidden to benefit from, is only if it went through a shchita process. Here, it did go through a shechita process, but I'm ruling that it's mutir bano. That is, Rabbi Shimon is ruling it's mutir bano, one can benefit from it. So this ruling would seem to reflect backwards on the shechita, that it's not a shechita at all, because had it been deemed a shechita, you would have expected it to be osur bahano. So since Rabbi Shimon rules that it's mutir bano, it would seem to be not a non-shechita altogether. Emo midei nevela nami lo mitara. If it's a non shchita whatsoever, I would think that it doesn't repel the tumas nevela either, and it should be deemed tome, just as if it were an animal that simply dropped dead. Komash malon. This is what Rabbi Abba reveals to us, that there is shchita effectiveness in this case to repel the Tumas Nevela from setting in. Omar le Rav Popo Labaye, V'sova Rabbi Shimon Chulin Ba'azora De'oraisahi. Does Rabbi Shimon hold that the prohibition of Chulin, of common meat slaughtered in the Azora, is an Isur De'oraisa? Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at the Rashi in explaining this wonderment of the Gemara, or this question of the Gemara. V'savar Rabbi Shimon chulin shenishchatu ba'azora d'oraisa. Rashi says mi v'zavachta, from that word in the Torah, k'de parshinon de koboi shchita ruya, as we have explained that he requires a proper shchita. The e midrabanan, if one were to think that Rabbi Shimon's approach to chulin bazora was on a rabbinic level, namely that common meat slaughtered in the azora is prohibited only on a rabbinic level, the taimo de asiri, and the reason for such a prohibition, mishum de mandechazi de nishchatu b'fnim savar kochim ninu, if one were to see it shechted the chulin in the azora, And he would think, the onlooker would think, that it's sacrificial in nature. And since it's chulin, the owner would be eating it outside the azara. And he would come to conclude incorrectly that korbanos, that sacrifices, can also be eaten outside. Namely, the onlooker would come to an erroneous conclusion. So if that were the basis of Rabbi Shimon with regard to chulin bazora and its prohibition, ma li ru'uya u'ma li eino ru'uya, why should there be any distinction be made between a shchita ha-ru'uya or a shchita she'eino ru'uya? Ha'asi l'senuye mikot shem psulim. The same problem would come about. So from the fact, however, that Rabbi Shimon makes a distinction between, or let's say, classifies this as a shechita ha-ru'uya versus eino ru'uya, we see that Rabbi Shimon must hold that chulin bazora is a de'oraisa consideration. So the Gemara says, after asking this question, does Rabbi Shimon hold it to be Doraisa? Omar Le, in. Abaye answers, yes. And we see this in a Tanaic source. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chulin Shinishchatu Bazara Yisrufu Bo'esh. V'chein Chaya Shinishchatu Bazara. Whether it be Chulin, Behema, meat that's shechted in the Azara, or whether it be a Chaya that's slaughtered in the Azara, it is to be burnt. E amris bishlamo d'oraisa, if you say that Rabbi Shimon's opposite or analysis of Chulin Bazara is on a Torah level, its prohibition is on a Torah level, hainu de gazrinon chaya otu behemo, then I understand why a chaya, which is an undomesticated animal, none of which ever come as sacrifices, why, nevertheless, we rule that it too, if it's shechted in the Azor, is to be burnt. That a ruling concerning chaya was made in anticipation of behema. That's what we call a gzera, a rabbinic ruling concerning chaya, because if we were to, let's say, be lax, we're not require, or not ban the chaya, I would come to allow even behemos. And if behema is deraisa, that makes it understandable why they made a ruling concerning the chaya as well. Elo I amris derabonan, if you would say that the prohibition of chulin bazora is one of a rabbinic nature, well, behema maitaima, what is the reason for making such a prohibition? Well, duma osi lemechal kotshin bachutz. If we would have been lax, then the onlooker would come to conclude that sacrifices also you could eat outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, if that be the case, then he gufa gzera, the prohibition of chulin bazora being itself durabanan, v'anan nekum v'nigzor gzera l'gzera, would we then impose restriction on a chaya in anticipation of behema? But behema itself is only rabbinic, and there's a general approach that you don't make a rabbinic prohibition in anticipation of the violation of another rabbinic prohibition. So by the fact that we see in this source that Rabbi Shimon holds that a chaya shenishchat ha-bazara is usur, it must be because a behema, a domesticated animal that's slaughtered in the azara, happens itself to be of a Torah level prohibition, thereby making it understandable that chaya is banned also in anticipation of the behema case, which is of a Torah nature. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic here, and this is indicated by the slash mark that you see in the Gemara, and a nosei, a topic heading in the outside margin. Hatzorach l'dam oif, l'tzrochav, a person who needs the blood of a bird for his own personal needs. Ech yasigenu b'li l'hischayev b'kisui. How can one get the blood, the bird blood, that he needs for some purpose? The Gemara will give us an example of that. How can he get the bird blood without having a need to do kisui hadam? In general, Kisui Adam comes up when one slaughters a bird or a chaya and he's interested in eating the meat. So, as a result of the shechita, he will then cover the blood. Here, we have a case where he needs the blood. And if he needs the blood, so obviously he'll lose out if he has to cover it. But on the other hand, if you shech the bird, you would think that this sets in an obligation to do the kisui. So how can you ever get the blood that you happen to need without falling under the obligation to do the kisui? Rabbi Chia nofal le yaniva bekisne. Rabbi Chia had some flax or linens, kisne linens, and it became afflicted with yaniva, a type of worm, a worm that eats flax. Flax, Rabbi Chia had, we said linen, but he had flax from which you produce linen. And yet, we see here that Rabbi Meir's flax became afflicted with this yaniva worm. What also the kame the Rebbe? So Rabbi Chia came to Rebbe with his problem. Amalei shkol oifo, take a bird, ushchoit al bubisa demaya, and slaughter it over a pool in which flax are soaking. Rashi says, "Bubisa demaya me hamashre shapishton sham." That's water in which flax are soaking. So, shech the bird over that water. The morach doma v'shavik lei. The worm will smell the bird blood and go away. Well, hechi ovid hachi. How could he do this? In other words, he's going to shecht it. And we dashed underline that word, ushot, he's going to shecht it and not end up doing kisui hadam. He's shechting the bird over the water in which the flax are soaking. V'hotanya hashoche v'tzorach l'dam, one who slaughters an animal and he needs the blood, chayov l'chasos, he's obligating himself by having done the shechita. He has to cover the blood with dirt, and if he has to do that, so he won't have the blood for his purposes. So ketzad yaseh, what should he do, and thereby have his cake and eat it too, so to speak? What should he do to get the blood and not be obligated in kisui? Oh no charo, oh okro, he should either pierce it, or no charo, Rashi says chonko, strangle it, or rip out its neck organs. Those are suggestions that are different than what Rebbe said. Rebbe said, go and slaughter it over the water. We see from this source that the slaughtering, actually obligates him to do the kisui. So how could Rebbe make such a suggestion of slaughtering the bird over the flax water, which would thereby disable him from doing the kisui? So as a response to this, we have two approaches. One, ki also ravdimi omar, say trof omar lei. In fact, Rebbe said to first make the bird into a trefa, and then shecht it. That would be a shechita she'eino ru'uya, and as such, there would be no kisui obligation. Ki also ravin omar, say nechor omar lei. Ravin said that what Rebbe recommended was go and strangle the bird. That's what Rebbe really said to Rebbe Chia. And if one strangles the bird, he can then take the blood out without involving himself with a kisui, with a covering obligation. As we look on in the Gemara, we're going to be analyzing these two opinions of Rav Dimi and Rovin, why each one explained Rebbe differently, or stated Rebbe's advice to Rebbe Chia differently. On the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we have a triangle featured, and the triangle represents the Shnei Deos, the two opinions, Ubirur and clarification. Lama kol echad bochar b'shitos v'lo b'shel chavero. Why did Rav Dimi and Rovin explain the case of Rebbe, each one respectively, and not like the other one? Leman diomar tsei trof, according to Rav Dimi, who said that Rebbe had told Rebbe Chia, go and first make the bird into a trefa, my time alomar tsei nechor, why didn't he, Rav Dimi, say like Ravin, that Rebbe's advice was go and strangle the bird? In order to make the reading easier, we have a bracketed section, which it would tell us to skip till the top of Pei Vav Amin Aleph. So the question having been raised there, the Gemara answers Lo Mibaya Ka'omar. What Rav Dimi was saying to Rav Dimi was explaining in Rebbe was in a Lo Mibaya fashion, namely, and the Gemara explains itself Lo Mibaya Tse Nechor. I don't have to tell you that there would be a kisui exemption if you went and strangled it. The lav shchita hi klal, that's not a shchita whatsoever. Avotzei trof. But one might have thought, without my telling you this, one might have thought that in the case of making it first into a trefa and then shechting it, emo, I would have thought shchita shein eruya shma shchita v'liboy kisui, that a shchita that's not fit for eating is nevertheless called shchita, and there would be a kisui obligation. Komash malon kiderebichia bar abo. What Rav Dimi is expressing is like that of Rav Chiya bar Abba that said on the Pei Hei Omen Aleph that Rebbe, who we see here is answering Rebbe Chiya, that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon with regard to Kisui Hadam, that a Shchita Shein Aruya is not considered Shchita, and therefore, even though he did a shchita process, but by having it first made into a trefa, it's a shchita that doesn't lead to eating, and therefore there is no need for kisui hadam. Now, in presenting this Gemara, we skipped a bracketed section, so let's reread the Gemara now with the bracketed material. The Gemara at the triangle, six lines from the bottom, says Leman di Omar Tse Troif, namely according to Rav Dimi, who said that Rebbe had told Rebbe Chiya first make it into a trefa and then shecht it. My time al Omar Tse Nechor, why didn't Rebbe tell Rebbe Chiya go and strangle the bird and then take the blood? Vechitema kosavar in shchita loif minatora. Unechiroso zu hi shchitaso. You might have thought the reason that Rav Dimi didn't say nechor, go and strangle it, is because from the Torah birds don't need shchita whatsoever, and its strangling would in effect be its shchita. And if that be the case, if the strangling would be the equivalent of its shchita, you would have then needed to do kisui. So maybe that's why Rebbe avoided saying Tzei Nechor, because that would have created a kisui requirement, thereby not enabling him to benefit from the blood. This isn't true, though. This isn't true that Rebbe holds that Ein Shchita Lof Min HaTorah. V'atanya, Rebbe Omer, Ka'asher Tzivisicha. This is a pasuk in the context of slaughtering. Melamed shenitzav Moshe al haveshet v'alkona v'arov echad be'oif v'arov shnayim b'vehema. Here you have Rebbe, we've dashed underlined his name, Rebbe himself is saying that from this pasuk we see that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught the laws of Shechita regarding a bird. Namely, the organs, the neck organs that need to be cut are the trachea or the esophagus. An expectation that you do the majority of one of them, as well as the laws of Shechita by a behema. For our purposes, though, we see that Rebbe holds that Shechita is an obligation, Shechita of a bird is an obligation from a Torah level. So that this idea that the reason he avoided saying Tzei Nechor, because I would have thought that it's Nechira, the Nechira is its Shechita, that I never would have thought. So the question remains, why, according to Rav Dimi, did Rebbe not say Nechor? So the Gemara answers, and we'll read this Gemara again, even though we read it before, Lo Mibaya Ka'omar. What Rebbe was communicating to Rebbe Chiya when he said Tzei Prof, in effect is saying, I don't have to tell you about Tzei Nechor. That's certainly all right. That certainly would be a method to get the blood without having to do kisui. But even the case of Tzei Trof would be a solution. Lo mi baya Tzei Nechor. I don't have to tell you that Tzei Nechor would be a good way to get the blood without having to do kisui. Delav shchita yiklal. There's not even an action of shchita. You're strangling the bird. Avol Tzei Troif, Ema Shchita Shein Aruya Shmo Shchita, but the recommendation of go first make it into a trefa and then slaughter it, I would have thought that a shechita that's not fit for eating is called shechita. Feliboy kisui, and as a result of it being classified as shechita, you would have to do the kisui. What Rav Dimi is telling us is like that which Rav Chiya Bar Abba said, that Rebbe, in the context of Kisui Adam, happens told like Rebbe Shimon, that Shechita She'ena Ruya is lo Shma Shechita, and therefore there is no need to do Kisui if the bird happened to have been first made into a trefa and then shechted. Now the Gemara turns to Ravin. Ulamand Omar Tsei Nechor, and we have a long question marking, and you can see that's illustrated by the shin that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. We should have pointed out earlier, even though it may be obvious, the house form is used to highlight the expression lo mibaya. This approach to Ravin, to Rav Dimi and Ravin, this approach is common to both of them, as will become clear as we go along. So according to Ravin, who said that Rebbe had told Rebbe Chiya when he upon needing the blood for the Yaniva problem, why did Ravin say Nechor, then did not say my time alomar say troth? For Chi Tema Kosavar, you might say that he holds that Rebbe holds Shechita She'ena Ruya Shma Shechita, and therefore you would have to do Kisui. The whole Amar Rebbe Chiya Bar Abba Rabbi Yochanan Ra Rebbe Dvarav Shel Rebbe Shimon BeKisui Hadam V'Shana V'Loshen Chachamim. We know that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon in the context of Kisui Hadam, and to hold like Rebbe Shimon means you hold that Shechita She'ena Ruya Lo Shma Shechita. And that's why Rebbe taught in our Mishnah involving Kisui Adam that opinion that if you shecht and it turns out to be a trefa, you don't have to do Kisui. He taught that by saying v'chachamim potrim. Chachamim really was Rebbe Shimon. Nevertheless, we see that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Shimon, and there would be no need for Kisui even if he had told him, say, troth. So why did Ravin not use that pshat? Answer, lo mibaya komar. He didn't have to tell him that, it's so obvious. Lo mibaya tsei trof. I don't have to tell you that if you first made it into a trefa, you could slaughter it and use the blood, and you have no shechita, no kisui obligation. To shechita shena real lo shma shechita, avol. Tsei nechor, had I not told you that that's also a solution, go and strangle the bird and take the blood, emo, I might have thought, Ein shechita l'oif min haTorah, u'shechitasa u'nechirasa zuhi shechitasa v'libay kisui. That from a Torah's perspective, birds don't have any shechita obligation. Just like fish, you don't have to shecht. I would have thought birds also, you don't have to shecht. And on a Torah level, of course, and the strangling of it is its form of shechita. And if that be the case, you would have to have done kisui. Had he strangled it? Komash malon kasher sivisaicha. Therefore, I learn from the kasher sivisaicha pasuk that there is shechita laof min haTorah, and therefore the nechira would not have led to a shechita, to a kisui obligation. The Gemara now has a question that is basically is a question on the whole story involving Rebbe Chiya and the need for blood to solve the worm problem. Umi nofa le yaniva bekisne. Could it be that a worm afflicted Rebbe Chiya's flax? The Omar Ravin Bar Abba, the Amri Law, another version is Omar Rebbe Ovin Bar Shva. Instead of Rebbe Bar Abba, he says Bar Shva. And instead of Ravin, it's Rebbe Ovin. But the point is being taught. Misha'alu b'nei ha'gola, posku hazikin vazvos v'ruchos v'ra'omim. When the b'nei ha'gola came from the diaspora, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, there ceased to be different problems in Israel. And that's what's meant by pasku, means they're stopped. The zikin and zvaos, Rashi says, zvaos are earthquakes or earth tremors, and re'omim, also a natural phenomenon. Rashi points out that these things, zikim, zvaos, re'omim, and ruchos, are explained in Maseches Brachos. They all represent something of a cursed nature. So all of these things, the zikin, zvaos, and ruchos, and the re'omim, stopped when the Bnei HaGola came to Eretz Yisrael. And we've dashed underlined this expression, v'loka pishtonim. This is the main point for our discussion. Their pishton was not afflicted either. And the chachamim noted that it's really the olu b'nei ha'golo that was referred to is a reference to Rabbi Chiyo and his sons, that in their merit there came this blessing to Israel. So you see that Rabbi Chiyo is responsible for the public the public benefit involving flax. So how can you say that Rabbi Chiyo's own flax became afflicted? So the Gemara answers that in fact is the very case. Ki mahanya zuchusayu, their merit, when is it beneficial? A'almo, it's beneficial for the public. Adidhu, lo. But their merit doesn't help themselves. Kidrav Yudo Amarav, similar to the teaching of Ravido in the name of Rav, Dem Rav Yudo Amarav, Bechol Yom V'Yom, Baskol Yoisis V'Omeres, every day a heavenly voice comes forth and announces, Kolom Kulo Nizon Bishvil Chanina Bini. This is a reference to Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, who was a leading pious sage that we find in the Gemara, in Mishnayos, many stories involving him and his piety. And the heavenly voice announces that the world is sustained in the merit of Rabbi Chanina. V'Chanina b'ni dai lo b'kav charuvim me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos. And as far as the sustenance of Chanina himself, he sustains himself on a kav, a measure of charuvin, a type of fruit, we'll say, that's of a very cheap and insignificant nature. And he sustains himself on this kav of a charuvim from week to week, on a measure of kav charuvim from week to week. And you see from this that Rabbi Chanina was responsible for the world's sustenance, which certainly amounts to billions of dollars of worth of food and sustenance, when he himself got by on very little. Similarly, with Rabbi Chiyo, his merit helped to salvage, protect the pishtan of the world, but his own pishtan were in fact subject to problems, as we saw in the story involving the Yaniva. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.